May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Now I have a choice to reading my notes or seeing you. I think I'll read my notes. So the story begins with people, his friends and his family, afraid for Jesus. They say that he is beside himself. In other words, insane. One of the words. Mad. And the scribes say that he's possessed by Beelzebub. And that he casts out demons by the power of demons. What brought this on? What made them so angry? And what made them so afraid for him? Well, just before these readings, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and it's on the Sabbath, and his disciples pluck the grain, and that's considered work. And Jesus says that it's okay to feed them on the Sabbath. He says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And then they go on, they continue on, and they go into the temple. And it's still the Sabbath day, and there is a man with a withered hand. And they call him, and they heal him. Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. There are rules, and rules should not be broken. And if you break the rules, you've got to be crazy. So, and Jesus responds with this parable that a house divided against itself will not be able to stand. How can he cast out demons with the power of demons? When I was writing this, I was thinking about our First Nations ways of praying before contact. And my parents, my great-great-great-grandparents were the healers of our community, and they carried the medicines. And when the priest came, the priest said that they were devil-worshipping. And that they were pagans. So my family went from being the center of the community to being outcasts. And the other thing was that, the other teaching was that we were savages. And yet, when you think about, they came here to this land, and this land was virgin, untouched land. And people lived here, millions of people lived here for thousands of years without touching, with leaving the land exactly as it was. There's something holy about that, which was difficult to see. But then, you know, the wilderness, the wild place was a scary place. The unknown place was a scary place. For us First Nations, the wilderness, in my territory, they call it the bush. In the bush there, everything was there that you needed to live. There was, you know, you can walk in anywhere, in any spot, just pick a spot, and you can make your home there. You could find a place to sleep, a place to sit, a place to cook, and you could make all of your clothes there. You can make your skins, your hides for your home there. Everything was just anywhere you went. So there was always a difference to see this wildness, this abundance, this generosity of Mother Earth, as opposed to the wild, scary place, the unknown place. So you imagine some children being brought to residential school and hearing this reading today. And one of the things that we all have done is we have all taken it upon ourselves. I mean, reading this, how many of us have sat there and said, oh my, when did I blaspheme? Have I done the most horrible sin? Have I sinned against this Holy Spirit and I'll never be forgiven? So many. I've heard it over and over so many times from so many people. And yet, that thought comes with this saying of how nothing can separate you from the love of God. No principalities, no powers, nothing. Judas Iscariot was also one of these who was, is said, has done the most horrible sin. And yet, he was someone who walked with Jesus. To know Jesus, to know the holy, and then to call it unholy, that is the sin. The King James Version says that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. But the Revised Standard Version says that whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. So there's a difference there, either being sent to eternal damnation or being guilty of an eternal sin. One of them is just, that's it, the doors are closed, no going back. And the other one is guilty of an eternal sin. And the meaning, guilty means we can turn around. Guilty means we can start anew, we can go back. So Jesus is beside himself. His words and acts do not follow the accepted teaching of the day. So I have another story to tell you. If you imagine, if you will, sitting at your kitchen dinner, feast, say Thanksgiving dinner, and someone just starts crying, breaking out crying, and they say this, they can't eat, they're sorry they can't eat because of the cows. Or they can't drink the milk or eat the dairy dessert because of the baby cows who are taken away from the mother. Or another thing, people who are tying themselves to trees to save the tree. So many things are happening these days that are not sane in those who are trying to save the earth. This is Abraham Lincoln in his time was talking about slavery. And he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And what he said in that day was so against what was the norm. And today, to break down crying because of the the beef that's on the table or the baby calf's milk that's on the table because the mama cow is crying for her baby calf somewhere. That is just so against what we all do. We all eat beef and we all have our cheesecake. That's a far way to go. But our trouble with the earth today is real, with the extinction that's going on and the rainforests that's being destroyed, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. All of these are real concerns today and calls us to go beyond what is normal, calls us to think beyond what the rules are today. Rather than focusing on the state of our souls, we begin to focus on the state of our environment. So here are these children who have been brought into residential school, who are sitting in a building away from the forest and in a strange setting. And they are taught to be careful and to be watchful of the state of their souls. And their souls, and they were always in danger. At any moment, they were going to slip up. At any moment, they were going to cause this unknown, terrible, unforgivable sin. And there were many. When I listened to my mom telling me about it, there was like almost every 5 seconds you were in danger of committing something wrong. Compared to where they were living in union, in communion with the fish and the rabbits and the bears, who were their neighbors, who were their brothers and their sisters. And so whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother, says Jesus. So let's look at the bigger picture. There's nothing more powerful than the love of family. It allows us to ignore some of the things that we see and to not name some of the things that are done, because we love our family and we want to keep loving them and keep peace in our families. So how many of us would dare risk to be called mad? Not many. The sun dancers, that's what we do in our traditional way of praying. We dance in July, this month actually, because of global warming. We're now dancing in June because of the fires in July. But the sun dancers say that they blow the eagle whistle, and the eagle whistle is the sound of Mother Earth crying for her creatures, crying for all of her babies. So Jesus' sole concern is not about our souls in the individual personal sense. Jesus' concern is about the total destruction of the power of the enemy. He doesn't spend any time at all defending himself. He spends his energy saying that the strong man is bound and his house is plundered because Jesus is here. Jesus has come and has bound the strong man and brought us into the family of God. Back in those days, the sanctity of prophets over human welfare was the challenge in the temples. And that is the same today in our temple. of Mother Earth. Is this madness? We need to hear the cries of our brothers and sisters and show them the love of Christ. That is the only way we will survive. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and sister and brother. In the beginning, what if there were two trees? What if there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge between good and evil? And what if we ate from that tree of life, the tree of good and evil, and we ran and hid in shame? And what if we were called back to the tree of life? And what if we were called back to worship and to honor all of life again? Jesus came here to battle our captives and for us all our creatures, to become his family. That's a new thought. Amen.